You know what's interesting? Walter Windler told me this once. He says, the farther away you get from SIU, the more it's appreciated.
Well, we're going to try to remedy that with this book. We want Southern Illinois and SIU alums, all kinds of people that have followed us and our students and current faculty and staff to know the history of SIU, and I think that's what this book does.
150 years. What's interesting, and when I look at it in my mind, I look at it as eras, you know, that beginning. And you cannot have that conversation without Delight Morris's name popping up quite a bit.
That's exactly right. We start with the end of the Delight Morris era, that is, we start in 69 and go through 2019 to get the focus on the last 50 years. That is the post-Morris years, but certainly impacted by Morris heavily. And
well, and it's interesting, and you talk about that impact because that vision that he had started a trajectory.
Exactly.
And you look even now and people reference him about the future and what we want for SIU, and they look back to him. They look back to this founding father.
That's exactly right. In fact, I start the very first of the book in the first chapter with a quote from him about what SIU aspires to be.
Which is?
And he talked about it being comparable to but not the same as a Big Ten university, or comparable to the Ivy League universities, but different in our own way. And I think we have achieved both of those.
Was SIU brought here, put here in Southern Illinois as not so much a college, and I guess second half of the question is important when it comes to that, as it was to building Southern Illinois, an economic growth, something that Southern Illinois needed? I think you have a hard time unless you go back and look at Southern Illinois as a whole. Didn't have much. And that facility meant something as far as kind of spreading out of Chicago into the southernmost portion of the state.
Yeah, that's exactly right. It has been an engine of economic development, and it was also geared to the region needs. For example, the automotive program used to be out here at the old VTI campus, right, very close, and it was a kind of practical program where you get real jobs for real people. We had an associate's program at that time. It's now a bachelor's degree program. Aviation's a good example of that. All of those School of Technical Careers, now CASA programs, were very oriented toward people getting out into the economy. But we also were a driving force in all of the high-tech fields and have become more and more known for engineering and that sort of thing.
Well, and you take a look at this. The largest enclosed dome space, F. Buckminster Fuller's
exactly.
SIU Arena.
Exactly.
We have a tendency to forget these things.
Well, and
it's a great heritage.
It is, and we acknowledge Bucky Fuller, but we also build on, it's sort of the land grant tradition. That's what the whole land grant institutions were designed to do. They were designed to be an outreach to farmers, for example, with the county agents. And that, of course, is the University of Illinois in this state, but
right,
we've always had a land grant type outlook.
Well, and see, you, I almost said you're old enough to remember. Sorry.
I've been here for the whole 50 years.
Well, you know, because once upon a time, SIU had ambassadors. Every mm-hmm. town had an SIU ambassador in it. Mm-hmm. If you said, look, I want to start a florist shop and I want to grow my own flowers. You went to the SIU ambassador in your town. The ambassador went back to SIU and found the right person on the staff to help you, and they reached out.
That's true, and we had the whole community development outreach. And sadly, some part of that got lost in some of the early budget crises. The community development program, for example, got lost in an early crisis, and we've had more difficulty keeping the financial backing necessary to do that, and we've got to figure out how to do both because we certainly are trying for an outreach to Southern Illinois.
Well, I've been a part of a group on Facebook. You know, people graduated 80s, 90s. Of course, I didn't, but, you know, 80s, 90s SIU, and they raised enough money to endow their own scholarship in like a week.
That was amazing.
It was literally a grassroots effort, and then all of a sudden it happened, and to the point, I think the last time I saw it was over 35,000. $100,000.
I lost track. I saw that movement, and it's a good example of that grassroots approach.
Another aspect of SIU is its cultural implications. And when I mean this, in particular, race. If I was going to pick somebody out of the blue, Bill Norwood, an SIU coach, quarterback, who's black, who goes into other and suffered terrible treatment, especially outside of Southern Illinois, was he is on the road. SIU has led in a number of different areas like that, and I've never felt that SIU's gotten the attention it deserves for what it did at a time when those decisions were very unpopular.
We try to spotlight that in this book because you can't write the history of SIU without pointing out that we were always the most diverse institution in the state. People don't know that we were never segregated. We've got pictures of graduating classes in the 1880s and 1890s that have clearly African-American people in them. And Bill Norwood's a great example, a lot of other great examples. Seymour Bryson, for example, Harvey Welch, for example, leaders in their fields who have gone on to do great things in the bigger world, as in the case of Bill Norwood. And we should be proud of and talk about that that long-time commitment.
And what it means, because it had an impact not just on the college, but all Southern Illinois. It sets an example, or you're watching, see. Yeah, I've got an old friend of mine, a friend of yours as well, for many years. He always talked about the pendulum swimming back and forth. Feast or famine, that's a little overstated, of course. We've seen the pendulum swing at SIU back and forth a number of different times. I mean, SIU and its prominence is you wear an SIU sweatshirt and you travel to anywhere in the country and somebody at the airport goes, hey, I went, right? And it's weird because we're so close, we don't have that perspective that we get. The pendulum has swung or has been pushed by the budget to a certain extent to a position now that we don't have the advantages or the profile that we once had. Can we swing this pendulum back at SIU, and does your book have a role in doing that?
Absolutely. And this whole celebration of the 150th is a kind of a stock-taking enterprise. The subtitle is Growth, Accomplishments, and Challenges. And we don't flinch from looking at those hard times, those challenges. But I describe it as a sort of a gritty determination. We've been here. We've prevailed. I think we've had a very difficult time getting over the budget impasse. But I think we're coming out of it. And I describe it as we sort of hit rock bottom last summer, about midsummer, when we had all kinds of leadership problems and the question of division with Edwardsville. But I think we've got that basically behind us. I think we've got leadership that's very, very capable in the case of John Dunn and Mira Karamju at the top, and Kevin Dorsey in the president's chair, and so I'm optimistic.
It's interesting because I read an article yesterday that says that graduating an art student is 30% more expensive for taxpayers than graduating an engineering student, except the engineering student's going to make a lot more than the art student. And it led me to believe, what is the future of higher education? We know that we've got to have somebody swing a hammer in life, but on the other hand, somebody's got to go out and draw a blueprint too, and then somebody has to be a visionary. I mean, I wonder what the future of higher education is when we have so many possibilities. Whether it's medical research or nursing program or space program or hemp or this long list of things that are possible now with technology. Are we in a position at SIU to take advantage of that and really move with it?
I think we are, because you've really got to have both. You've got to have both in a single education and in a single university. It's not an either-or. You've got to have engineers, but you've also got to have engineers who think creatively. And we've always done that. You mentioned Bucky Fuller, for example, the most extraordinary kind of intellect you can ever come across. We've got to have engineers who care about the country and care about public policy. But we've got to have public policy people and people from the arts who understand that technology is going to dominate the future of the country. So we do both, and we got to have both.
Yeah. Well, I think I've told you this before. I always cover this under the heading of there's love and lust in the world. One makes the species worth perpetuating. One perpetuates the species, one makes the species worth perpetuating. And that's kind of the way I see arts and technology.
I think that's right. You've got to have, there's no reason why an aviation graduate shouldn't have had some liberal arts and be able to write well, communicate
about
well.
About quality of life.
Yeah. And people like you who came out of an RTV background, those kinds of things have got to have an understanding of the larger picture, and that's what we try to do in a university like this one.
Well, it's like this studio. There was an engineer that made this board, but you can bet he wasn't a radio announcer. We have to do the things together.
Exactly.
Southern Illinois University at 150 years growth, accomplishments, and challenges. You can pick this up now
at the 710 bookstore or at the SIU bookstore, either one.